Welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast.
What does the word disruptive mean to you?
It means going beyond the ordinary, going beyond the status quo.
Not thinking in the conventional way, not just sort of following the herd.
Disruptive means shaking things up, you know?
Disruptive entrepreneur is somebody who sees the problem and embraces the problem with a new way.
Shake up and awakening.
Quality will take care of itself, and you'll go from being disruptive but also profitable.
When you use your reservoir of talent, when you love what you do, then you disrupt.
Mix it up, change it up, and dominate.
And now, your host, 8 times best-selling author and double world record holder, Rob Moore.
Hello, and welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast. It's producer Harry here. So this episode is something completely different, something we've not really done before. So we've got some of our friends of the show on. We have British actor from EastEnders and many other great hits, Jake Wood. We have podcaster and author Katie Piper. And we also have ex-Strictly Come Dancer, the amazing Kevin Clifton. We ran an event recently because both Jake and Kevin and Katie, they're all podcasters themselves. And obviously they've been on our show in the past. And it was just a great event that, you know, during these lockdown times, how we could still meet up electronically over the internet and have a chat about all things podcast. So that's kind of what this episode is all about. It's a celebration on all things podcasting. So if you're someone who's thinking about getting started in a podcast, this is the episode for you. Rob and Katie, Kevin and Jake, you know, they get into details on why they started their podcast, their shows, and they give all the tips and tricks and hacks on how, if you know, you guys really want to grow and scale a podcast, they give you all the tools and all the knowledge on how to do that. So this is something a little bit different. I hope you guys enjoy it. So enough from me. Let's just get straight into the episode with Mr. Rob Moore himself, Kevin Clifton, Katie Piper, and Jake Wood. But remember, if you don't risk anything, you risk everything.
And we're live. Hello, everyone, on the Podcast Quarterly Mastermind.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm good.
Where's your lockdown beard? You've like had a shave everywhere.
Yeah, I'm going back to work soon. So I've got to, I'm prepping. I'm getting ready.
Kev, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for jumping on.
That's right. Nice beard.
Yeah, thanks, honey. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm good. You've dragged me away from jet washing and lying in the sun. So thanks for that.
Well, I hope it'll be worth your time and you can blame me 100%. Huge Instagram following. You must be nearly a million now, Katie.
Nearly. It pains me that I'm not at a million.
what are you at now?
Let's have a look. I think it's 945.
Wow. In probably what, in a few weeks or something like that, you're going to be a million followers on any social media channel. That's massive.
It's good, but I suppose it's about how interactive and engaged those followers are, isn't it? Well, but mine are good. Mine are very engaged, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. But it's still, you shouldn't take away the impact that you're having across the world.
Well, yeah, I guess I never really thought about it like that. I think what I've created on my IG is quite like-minded community. So yeah. If I put something up, lots of people, they don't have to agree with me, but they will debate, they will discuss, and they would have probably had that experience too. So it's quite a good resource.
You're really passionate about podcasting as a podcaster and a fan.
Yeah.
So can you tell what your podcast is and the kind of concept behind it and why you wanted to do it?
So my podcast is called Pound for Pound. It's predominantly a sort of a boxing podcast, boxing sort of the umbrella. So we're a boxing podcast. I do it with my best mate, Spencer Oliver, who's ex-European champion. And I guess boxing, why boxing? It was just a huge passion of mine. Rob, you know, I used to box when I was a kid, back in primary school. I did a bit in the gym in King's Cross when I was young. Sort of fell out of it because I got into acting, but I've always been a massive fan, always been a huge fan of the sport. So it's always a passion of mine. So 2.5 years ago, we started to do the podcast, and through Spencer's contacts, we've spoken to everyone in the boxing world, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, Tony Bellew. And then through sort of people that I know, we've done Gary Lineker and Piers Morgan. So it's sort of like we're taking a wider view of boxing. So we're not specialists. We're not, you know, I'm not a facts and figures man. I'm more a passionate fan, a passionate supporter of the sport. And I guess Spencer gives us the inside track. He's the pro. He's, you know, he's the guy that's been there, that, you know, European, ex-European champion. So it's a really good balance. And I think we set out to do something that no one else was doing, which was, a boxing podcast, which was a bit more relaxed, a bit more fun, a bit more bantery.
The main reason, first of all, was just because I love podcasts. I'm sort of a bit addicted to podcasts, really. I've always got them on. Like, whatever I'm doing, that there's a podcast on in the background. You know, whether even if I'm just walking to the corner shop and back, I'll have a podcast in my ears. And I just love it. So I always just fancied having something of my own. Like at first, it was never even really my intention to set it up for any sort of business purposes. Although you always told me, like, you need to have a podcast. You're like, it'd be a great idea for you to have one. And I knew that. But at the same time, I just love the idea of doing one, almost like a hobby. Just because I love listening to podcasts, and I love listening to anyone talking about the thing that they're knowledgeable about, like their craft or their art, you know, whatever. I like listening to different actors and singers and just performers. And then, you know, I got into like business podcasts and stuff. I was listening to your podcast, and I just love listening to people talking about their stuff. And I just thought I'd love to interview people, or, you know, about their craft of acting, singing, whatever, dancing, and then get to talk about some of my experiences too. So that was the main reason for starting it up.
So it's called Katie Piper's Extraordinary People. And for me, anyone that doesn't know my story, I was badly burnt in an acid attack when I was younger. And I've kind of shared that quite publicly through books and documentaries. So as a result, people kind of treat me a bit like a hairdresser, where they come up to me and they tell me all their problems. Sometimes they're offloading and they want help. Sometimes they've got this phenomenal story and you can't believe it's not a film. You can't believe it's real, and they really inspire you. And I wanted to kind of get those two different sections of society together to help one another. And you'll know yourself, you know, I enjoy helping people, but you can't help everybody. So the more platforms you create where other people can enable and help others, the better. So I actually created it quite a few years ago. It's in like series three now. But it's funny, now lockdown and corona has happened, there's this appetite more than ever for not just inspiring stories, but some answers, some advice, some common ground. And the downloads have just gone through the roof since what's happened.
I think you've got a really strong concept, Jake. You, when you talk, you make it sound very relaxed and natural. But in reality, I think that's a clear concept. I remember listening to your show when I first found out about it, probably researching when you were coming on my show, how we met.
Yeah.
And some of your podcasts, you and Spencer will just start pissing yourself for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what I was laughing at. I was just laughing at you laughing. And I don't think you knew what you were laughing at. You were just laughing.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, yeah, that's kind of cool. That what I love about podcasting is you don't have to be anyone else. You don't have to copy anyone else. You don't have to be like anything else. You can just 100% be yourself.
Yeah.
You're not edited by anyone. You're not, you know, commissioned by anyone, controlled by anyone, owned by anyone,
yeah,
bought by anyone. Have you felt that freedom in your show?
100%. I think we wouldn't do it if we felt we were under any sort of any constriction to do it. And in fact, no one would let us do it if we wanted to. If we went to a broadcaster and wanted to do what we do, that no one would let us do it, Rob. So the only way we could do what we wanted to do was to do it. You can't do it with any restrictions. And for me, one of the things I love about podcasts is that there aren't those constrictions. There's, you know, people are free to say what they want, how they want to say it. And a lot of the times you listen to podcasts and you don't connect with what someone's saying. That's fine. You just move on and you listen to someone else. But I think when you make a connection to someone, it feels quite intimate because they are, you know, the ones that I like, they're like resolutely their own person. They make no excuses for who they are.
When I won Strictly Come Dancing, I was getting all these like messages from everyone just saying, well done, so happy for you. You know, can't believe it. What an incredible night, blah, 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 blah. And then like the next day I got one from you going, imagine if you'd have already had your podcast set up. Imagine the episode that would be coming out now, like the day after you've won Strictly. And I was like, yeah, I know, you're right. I really need to get onto this. But then I suppose it changed because like once I started, it wasn't as easy as just, or I sort of felt like I didn't know all the tools of how to interview everyone sort of remotely. I struggled. My first struggle was with the equipment itself. So like you were like, right, you need to get this Zoom recorder and whatever, and I'm just useless when it comes to all the technical stuff. And even remember we had that session where like your team showed me and we filmed everything exactly what buttons to press, what settings and everything. Like it couldn't have been easier. And I had this Zoom recorder and I set it, I watched the video and did it all meticulously through, da 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 da. Think I've got it all set up. I did an interview, I don't know, with someone, just like a practice interview, but I thought this will be my first episode, and did the whole interview for about like an hour and a half, and then went to play it back, nothing, couldn't find it. There's no file there with any audio on it, so I've obviously done something wrong. So I remember like getting in touch with you guys and being like, I just don't know what I'm doing with this equipment. Obviously I'm doing something wrong, but I don't know what. And then you went, right, I'm gonna send you like the easiest one, and you sent me this little guy, this little Zoom recorder, which is a, I don't know, it's H1. I'm sure it's like the simplest one that you can get. And you're like, all you need to do is press record, like that button in the middle there. And it's attached to this little mic that fixes onto my shirt. So I had two of them, and that was the easy way of me doing it. So I just pressed record and started recording. So I would record like interviewing people that I was around, whoever, like I was in like a theater show with, because that's, I didn't know how to do it remotely or like over the phone or over Skype or anything like that. And I was always sort of so busy that I was like, oh, I'll just do it with people that I'm around, or I'll just have episodes where it's me talking. And that was great. And we, you know, we started getting episodes out and we're getting a nice response. If anything, going into this lockdown situation now, what that's brought me is Zoom. So like, I didn't really know about Zoom before lockdown. Now everyone in the country like knows about Zoom, and it's become, you know, you started off doing like family quizzes and stuff on Zoom. And I thought maybe I'll interview someone over Zoom. And your team told me to just like, oh, set it up like this, press that, but go into settings, press that and press that and press that. And then that means it'll record both sides. So the audio is good on both sides, you know, or whatever. And then you can just whack the file over to us, and you don't even need this. And that has been a revelation for me, because so now I've got time and I've got Zoom. It's sort of changed the game for me. Now I'm interviewing everyone left, right and center. I'm just texting like people off Strictly, other people that I know sort of in showbiz or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, whenever you're ready, which is like everyone's ready all the time right now, you can just do a Zoom chat and record it and send it over. So for the first time since I started it, I feel like I've been a bit last minute all the time, like, oh, I'm gonna have to get an episode in the next 3 hours, otherwise there's not gonna be an episode ready. That was sort of my first few months of doing it. Now for the first time, because of lockdown and Zoom, I feel like I'm about 6 weeks ahead, something like that.
You said you started quite a while ago, so how long have you been doing it, and how many episodes have you done?
I reckon it's 2 years, and it was because of meeting all these different people and having all these ideas. And anyone that's worked in telly will know, you have an idea, you take it to someone, then you take it to someone else, and then it can take years to develop. And sometimes then the memento is gone. So I thought, well, I don't want to wait for other people to enable me to do things I'm passionate about. I'll just do it myself. And it started very low budget and not as a moneymaker, which was fine because I had other commercial interests and this was a passion. And and now it's developed into something I give a lot of time to, and we've got some great sponsors. Pantene is one of our sponsors, The Economist, Milk and More, and it's become really commercial. But that wasn't why I set out to do it. And sometimes I think when you forget about what you think they want and what they'll pay for and just do what you want, then it becomes really, really popular, which has been a good business lesson for me. Don't always think about the audience.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Well, sometimes I think if you're in the public eye, you can get too obsessed with reading reviews and feedback. And then you start creating, like, second guessing and creating what you think will be popular, but wasn't really what you were actually interested in. So then when you delivered it, you probably really weren't that believable.
Yeah.
So, like, if I did a podcast about sport, it would be rubbish, because other than weightlifting, I'm not really that sport led, you know. But this is people that I genuinely want to go for dinner with, and I get them on the podcast, and that's what we do.
That was a lesson for me, Katie, as well, because when I created my Disruptive Entrepreneur, I kind of at first thought I better go for big business owners.
Right.
And what I found is, if I'm sat with a guest, even though they've got a big story and I'm not really that into it, doesn't quite hit the spot. But I interviewed John Barnes, who's not even in business really, but he's my favorite footballer ever. Uh-huh. And I loved it. And because I loved it, I think my audience loved it. So I think it's good to get feedback from your audience, i.e. ask them what guests they would like on the show and ask them what content they would like. But sometimes you're allowed to do your podcast for you. For you, because, you know, sometimes you think, oh, it's so selfish of me to want to interview John Barnes or the CEO of Audemars Piguet, my favorite watches. You think of some other names. But I thought, wait a minute, if when they listen to your podcast, they follow you, you're the host, they have a good rapport with you, to the point where I interviewed Jordan Belfort recently, the Wolf of Wall Street.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, well, it was. But, like, I was a bit nervous about doing it because, obviously, he is an ex-criminal. And he did lose a lot of money for a lot of people. I mean, he wasn't the only one. But because of that, I was a bit nervous. I didn't want to – well, I was just a bit – I wasn't actually going to do it. And then I did a poll of 500-odd people, and 495 said, yes, do it. And I did it, and it was good. But actually, quite a few of my fans said, oh, Rob, you know what? There wasn't really the rapport there. Or maybe you weren't, you know, your usual self. You were a bit cold. You're a bit distant. And I wasn't really. It's just I wasn't yet a fan of his, and there wasn't yet the rapport. Mm-hmm. And even though I thought I did a good job, my audience noticed, you know, because I asked him, when was the last time you took drugs? I asked him, you know, did you pay back all your investors? I asked him some quite hard questions, which isn't really me. I'm not like a journalist type question asker, but all my fans wanted me to go there. A lot of people said, well, he's lost a lot of money. You better ask him about that. So I did. So I think there's a big thing, like you said, in interviewing people you really like and doing the show for you, because it's always going to be a success if you do it for you. It can never be a failure if you love it, even if you don't get hundreds of millions of downloads.
I do some voice work for an American company, and they built me a studio. Yeah, so it's not very big.
Look at that.
Yeah, but it's all right. It's all soundproofed, and
it's all
got all the bits and pieces. So I had that there anyway, Rob. That was always there. So I'm very lucky in that respect. I've got all the equipment, but nowadays you can do podcasts. You know, you don't need much really. You need probably a kit, a Zoom with a few good mics coming off of it. There's all I'm in Zoom, the physical bit of Zoom kit as opposed to Zoom online. But even on Zoom, But even Zoom online, you can record. You can record now, can't you? You can separate the audio channels on the Zoom online. Yeah. So when you're recording it, make sure you separate the audio channels so you can edit it and stuff, play around with the levels. So it's really easy now to podcast. It's so easy.
Finding the way of doing it. Like I say, for me, it was Zoom has really opened it up for me. And I've been, and it's sort of forced my hand, lockdown. But yeah, for me, I would constantly sort of second guess it all the time. That was the starting bit for me. Was difficult because it was like, I really want to do it, but then, you know, time and what to talk about. And, you know, I've always been a little bit like, oh, but are people going to be interested in what I have to say? Which is when I call you and you sort of have to change my mindset on it. But like, you know, I'm always like, oh, are people really going to be that interested? And then getting going, you know, with the equipment, it all sort of started very slowly. And then I sort of was like, oh, I've had all these ideas about what I want to do with my podcast. Now I'm doing it, and I don't have like a million amazing guests lined up. I'm 3 hours away from my deadline. Otherwise, there's going to be no podcast this week. So I'm going to have to just record one, just me talking. So I'm going to talk about something that I'm passionate about, you know, to do with performing or whatever. And I'd be beating myself up thinking, oh, it feels like a cop out. You know, I wanted to be interviewing Al Pacino. And it turns out it's just me talking, you know, no one's going to be interested. But then, so I'd be in that zone and sort of dragging my feet a little bit. And then you put it out there, and then you get feedback on social media where people go, oh, I really enjoyed that episode. And you realize that, like, actually, people are just interested in what you have to say. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be that, you know, oh, I'm doing one about acting this week. It doesn't have to be I'm doing a Zoom chat with Al Pacino. It can be just, you know, like me saying some stuff and people get interested.
Some people might say, well, what's interesting about me? What have I got to offer? And it could be something you do every day that you don't even second guess. So maybe you've got a nut allergy and every day you prepare meals that are nut free and you avoid nuts when you're out and about. And someone who's just had a baby who's got a nut allergy might go and look for that niche thing and want advice, want tips, want to know how to dine out. And you might have this whole wealth of knowledge that you're being dismissive of and you could share. And that could go everywhere, and it could expand into the commercial food industry and writing books. And sometimes you can really be dismissive of these huge strengths and wealth of knowledge you possess because it's just every day to you. But what's every day to you isn't every day to other people, and they're at the beginning of discovering that thing. So you can educate them.
What's podcasting done for you, Jake? I know you're a fan as well as a podcaster. Could you talk about, obviously, you've got sponsors now. You got plans for that? Obviously, you must met cool people. What's it done for you?
I think all of those things. First and foremost, the podcast subject matter is a real passion of mine. So I suppose that has helped to keep us going, because we made a commitment 2.5 years ago to do it weekly, which, you know, I've got a busy schedule at EastEnders and Spencer's a pretty busy guy as well. So sometimes sometimes it's the last thing you want to do in a week is find the time to squeeze it in. But I think that's really helped. It's a passion of mine. So yeah, for me, it's just been a joy, you know, to get into boxers' heads like Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua and, you know, that for me is a real pleasure to speak to those guys every week. What else has it given me? Yeah, I've met some cool people like yourself, Rob, and all that, and some of the boxers. So I think there is that. You make connections. I've certainly learned how to be a better broadcaster and interviewer, hopefully, maybe. So much so that, like,
jump in before I forget that one, Jake, and then we'll come back. Because actually, you reminded me before, you said, my podcast probably weren't that very good in the early days and we've improved. And now you've said you're a better interviewer. So what are the improvements you've made and what makes you a better interviewer?
Preparation, I think, is important. Listening. And also just, giving people the space to talk. I think it's being well prepped, and then it's having the sort of confidence that if the conversation goes off anywhere, that you can go down that line and then come back to, you know, to what you're come back to kind of maybe what the overall thing is like. So ours is kind of mindset and positive thinking and overcoming obstacles, stuff like that. We're really into all that stuff. So that's, yeah. So often boxers have got great stories, you know. You know, you can talk about individual fights where they came back from, you know, the brink of defeat, you know, stuff like that, or, you know, some hardship they've had in their private life or stuff like that. So I guess it's preparation to know what the overall feel of it should be. And then within that, if they go off and talk about whatever else, then you've got the confidence to be able to do that. So, I think it helps if you're like really interested in people anyway, which I am. So I like the fact, not that just that they're sportsmen, but I like people anyway. So it just really interests me to, you know, what makes people tick and all that.
Kev, you decided to use our agency rather than try and edit, host, syndicate, do show notes, images, etc. Why did you decide to go with our agency as opposed to do it all yourself?
Well, one, because you've got successful podcasts already on the go, so I know that you know what you're doing. You know, I've been listening, and I also had, you know, I've been listening to your podcast for a long time. I've got a relationship with you, you know, so I trust you guys. And two, like, I didn't know the first thing about how to put it all together. You know, it's all very well talking on a microphone, but then what happens after that in terms of it getting out there? I didn't have the first clue, and you sort of already had all that set up. And also I didn't have much time to do all of that. So, you know, you've got to leverage people that can do it. I know you like me saying that. And then the equipment and all of that is like, I can barely just get this together and press play on that. So it just became easier for me technically and time-wise and just experience-wise to record the thing itself and whack it over to you. And then you do the rest. And it just sort of appears in iTunes. And I look forward to it all sort of like just my face appearing up in iTunes every week and going, oh, that happened. And I have no idea how it happened, but I just recorded it.
And there's something like, it's either 60... million Facebook pages or 60 million YouTube accounts. It's one of the two. But there's only about 600,000 podcasts. So what's that? 1% of podcasts compared to either Facebook pages or YouTube channels. So I just think that shows the huge opportunity for growth. I mean, none of us know what's going to happen in the next 5 years, but I do imagine there's going to be a lot more podcasts out there for sure. So it's exciting. Why did you launch a podcast? What made you think I'm going to have a podcast?
I think it's to do with control. I like to be in control of things. And, you know, if I get a no or a setback, I don't like to see that as, oh, well, that's that door closed, let's park that idea. And I had ideas for documentaries and they weren't getting commissioned. And, you know, for example, one of the guests I had was Maggie Oliver, who was the whistleblower in the Rochdale grooming scandal. And she was a detective and she lost her job. You know, exposing the corruption within the police, within politics, for not protecting those young girls. And, you know, those young girls were from a broken background and people decided because they weren't middle class, they deserved to be abused and exploited. And it's such a phenomenal story. And it's stories like that I wanted to give a platform to and talk about. And unless you're your own editor, producer and presenter, you cannot do that at the BBC or anywhere else. And I still make TV shows, I still make docs. But yeah, it was kind of not frustration, but always in my life, whenever things have been taken away from me or people have told me no, I've learned it's not the end. And you just reset and keep going and find a way and just never give up. And there's, look at the society we live in with the internet now, there's always a way to do stuff. And there's always room for everybody in this kind of, you know, you can't ever say, oh, other people are doing it, what's the point? You know, there's always room.
It's interesting hearing you say that, Katie, because obviously you've got really good experience in mainstream media. I've always found podcasts to be, personally, of the ones I listen to, the most honest form of media. I generally tend to go for unedited ones.
Oh, so you do?
There are some I like, but they're highly edited. And I don't know why. I like the freedom. I like the tangents. I like the mistakes they'll be in. I like the rawness, the honesty, to know that nothing's been taken out, to be on the fly, a fly on the wall of everything rather than just the best bits.
You're so nosy.
Yes, exactly. No, probably because I'm nosy, but you're right. But, you know, if you think about it, if you're someone who's famous, someone in the mainstream media or someone who's been interviewed a lot in mainstream, you know, you and I are both friends with Kevin Clifton, and I spent a lot of time with him In fact, I drove, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say this, but I drove at 170 miles an hour being chased by paparazzis, escaping Kev from what the shows he did. They were like, they were brutal. And in that year he had, what, last year, year before, the media just brutalized him and they were making lies about him and they were phoning his friends saying, basically, lie about Kev, say this and I'll give you 25 grand. And, you know, there was all this, these lies and this manipulation, but that doesn't seem to happen as much on podcasts. And because you can choose which podcast you go on, and you can go on ones that are honest and not edited. And so I just love the honest medium of it.
Yeah.
When I started my podcasting, I'd already done a lot of public speaking, Jake, and I kind of, I guess I went in naive, if I'm honest, because I guess I thought, well, because I can public speak, I can probably interview, and I found them completely different.
Yeah.
I actually found interviewing quite hard in the early days, and looking back, I was probably pretty shit. Have you found, did you find it hard, that art of the pause and the art of getting out of people, what you want to get out of them with having them still feel comfortable? How's your journey as an interviewer gone? Because it's an art form, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, the way that we do ours, Rob, is like there's me and Spencer usually in the studio here, and then we get someone over the phone. Obviously, in lockdown, it's been, we've been all three separated. So it's me, Spencer at home, and then someone else. And again, that was a conversation we had early on, whether that was a disadvantage to have people over the phone. I think there's advantages to both as opposed to being face-to-face with someone. I think there's advantages and disadvantages to both, if I'm honest. But for us, I don't think we could do the podcast any other way, just because of where these, where everyone is and where me and Spencer are. And it would be too complicated. We haven't got the time to go out and go up to Liverpool, Manchester, wherever Leeds, wherever these kids are, you know, these fighters are training to interview them. We just couldn't, physically, we couldn't do it. So we always do it over the phone. And I think what that gave us very early on, Rob, was a sense of like, I think we got great content out of people and people were immediately really relaxed. And I think that was because, and I've spoken to Spencer about it, I think it's because people are on the phone and they're at home. They're like, they could be in their pajamas and they're just chilling out and they're in a comfortable environment. And it just felt very easy that we were just getting people really relaxed and just being really open with us. And I do think that was an advantage. I do think that's an advantage for us because we're not putting anyone in the studio. You're not putting a mic in their face. You're not putting them under the lights. You're not putting them in, you've not got the whole situation. You've just, all they're doing is picking up the phone and having a chat. And I always felt that the content we was getting was great because I think people were relaxed. They were just at home. They were a comfortable environment and just having a chat. I think that's worked to our advantage. Although I always feel that you probably would get content out of people face to face that you wouldn't get over the phone. But again, it's just practically, that's what we need to do. And there's two of us, I think, and I think that's been easier, over the time. There's less pressure, I think, if there's two of you interviewing, you both have the same list of questions and then you can both jump in. And I think Spencer would always ask the questions that I wouldn't think of asking. And I think I would ask questions that Spencer wouldn't think of asking. I think we've got very good over 2.5 years of time in it and giving each other space to do it and jump in at the right time. I think very early on, I think we always talk too much. We like talking anyway, me and Spencer. And the danger, you want to jump in too quick. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I know what you're talking about. Oh yeah, oh yeah. And I think some of that is great because it leads to a very, like, all the banter and stuff like that. But again, it's a delicate balance. But I don't know. I like some of that anyway. I like some of it where it's, where you jumping in, oh yeah, I remember, oh yeah, 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 and everyone's talking over each other. I like that, a bit of that anyway. But again, you know, whatever you do, someone's going to complain about it. We get people saying that you don't let the guests talk enough, and you know, and so I think, you know, I think you just have to, I think you have to be clear about how you want to work it, how you want to sort of, you know, Is it a very serious? If it, you know, if it's very serious and you've got someone from, you know, government, or if it's business orientated or something, of course, let them speak. It's very important, isn't it? But we're just chatting to, like, Bob, having a laugh and fucking about, you know. So, you know, how much you just want to hear them chat, or do you want to hear me and Spencer jumping in and cracking up with them and having a laugh? So again, I think it's a delicate balance of the two, but, you know, I think you have to know what the product is. And
where do you see the future of podcasting? You know, you've been a fan for a long time of podcasts, like I am. I mean, I started as a fan before I was a podcaster.
Mm.
Do you think it's going to keep growing? How have you seen it change, and where do you think it's going to go?
I think it's become, well, obviously it's become more and more popular, like since sort of 10 years ago when I first got into it. It was like, what is this? What are these podcasts that you're listening to all the time? Like, what is it? Then it became like, oh, people sort of know about it. And, you know, but are we really getting into podcasts? Now it's really popular. I still think it's going to keep growing because it's an easily sort of passive thing to do. You don't have to sort of watch anything to do it. You don't have to take your attention somewhere else. You can be on your run. You can be in the car. You can be on the commute to work. You can be washing the dishes. You can be in the shower. Like, you can have a podcast on pretty much whatever you're doing. And I think people are now cottoning on to the fact that it's a real easy way of getting out there and building profile for whatever it is that you're doing, you know, but building attention. And I think more and more as well, from what I'm hearing from podcasts, what people like, I think, because there's so much, like with Instagram and sort of reality TV and all of that stuff, there's so much, I don't know how best to say it. Like, everyone's profile is sort of fake in a way. It's like everyone's putting up this sort of special version of themselves. Like the Instagram pictures are them at their best. They've done 50 takes of that picture to then put it, and it's them like on a beach and you know, just living their life. But actually that's not their real life. And then you look at sort of reality TV shows, you know, like Kardashian style shows, where it's like, it's sort of scripted, structured reality. It's not really reality. It's like, let's, you know, what's going to get the most hits and all of that sort of stuff. Whereas what I'm seeing more and more with podcasts, and why I think they cut through, is that people can be sort of very natural on them. And even, like, you know, leaving mistakes and stuff. I quite like it on podcasts when, rather than it being an overly polished sort of radio show type format, I like it when, you know, like someone will come in the background while they're talking, and then you hear them go, oh, you know, just, oh, all right, yeah, we'll sort that out in a minute. Go make yourself a cup of tea and shut the door. I'm just finishing this. And I feel like you get this little window into the actual person, and it all feels very real, rather than just this over-the-top polished version of someone, like you might see on their Insta profile or on a really professional, like, radio show.
Yeah, I think you're right, because you instantly trust the person because it feels intimate. There's no studio audience. You feel like they don't have an ulterior motive. Mm. I think the only downside that can happen, if you're a well-known person go on a podcast, the journalists listen to them and then they take a quote out of context and they make it 9. So, like, if I was on your podcast and said, I was up last night and my kids, they're a nightmare, I hate them. And then they would be out of context, and the headline would be like, Katie Piper hates her children. And you'd be like, that's a nice Daily Mail article. But actually, does it really matter? Probably not. But yeah, you are right. There's more control in that sense, and there's an opportunity to be more authentic, which is people read stuff about you and you wish the audience knew that wasn't true. Well, now is your chance in the podcast to be authentic and connect with the audience from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I guess, look, when you're a celebrity in your limelight, they could take anything out of context anywhere, a YouTube video. You on TV, because we edit and host Kev Clifton's podcast for him, and he regularly, he'll send us the edit, but then afterwards we go, oh, we've just listened to it, you've got to take this bit out because they're going to say this, you've got to take this bit out because they're going to say that. And it's a bit of a shame in a way. He has to just, you must have to look at every sentence as a soundbite, and how are they going to take it in isolation, but
yeah, it's difficult. It is quite exhausting, I think.
All right. So what's podcasting done for you? We'll come to the monetization in a moment because you've got some sponsors and that's great. But what has it done for you in addition to monetization?
I think it's brought me a new audience that connect with me through whatever the subject is. It might have brought people that have never heard of me before, never read my books, never. Maybe I didn't really appeal to them. They didn't think about connecting with me, but that specific subject they were searching for. It's given me a purpose where I can fully feel good about the project. So because I am the producer as well, it's not like being involved in a job where you think, oh, it's kind of lost its way a bit, not sure if that's how I really wanted it to be. So that full creative control is quite fulfilling, because sometimes not your work is fulfilling. So that's a positive thing.
Yeah. Has it reached you to, you know, maybe connect with people you wouldn't have connected with before? Has it got you, has it helped with maybe, do you launch your books on it? I mean, I guess you're downloaded in like hundreds of countries. Any of that going on?
Yeah, it does help. Yeah. So, yeah, internationally it helps. Time-wise it helps because it's a lot of promo about you physically having to be there. And, yeah, if you have other business interests, if you sell product, if you write, if you produce other things, then, yeah, you can drive them all through one another. And if the podcast is authentic to your message, it all kind of is on brand for everything else that you're doing. So, yeah, I mean, I write self-help books, so it's quite on brand to my podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So you mentioned earlier, and I'm fascinated by this, and I still don't get it, so I'm looking forward to you educating me, Katie. I cannot wrap my head around series on podcasts. I guess if it's like a horror show or true crime or, you know, pure fiction, I get why they might have series like you do on Netflix. But I never understood why a non-fiction podcast would have series.
So
educate me. Why do you do a series and why don't you just do one episode a week ongoing?
Okay, I'm the sort of person that rolls my socks into those little sausages, then lines them up in the drawer. I'm also the sort of person that has emptied every cupboard in the kitchen on lockdown and lined all the cups up neat. So for me, it's just a neat, formative way to display it. When you go to download it, you can clearly see series 1 to 2 to 3. My style has probably evolved, so you can differentiate over the series. I think marketing wise, if you're going on TV shows and stuff and talking about it, it's an easier way to package it and talk about it, and it shows people that it's got longevity, and maybe it attracts guests. If they're not sure about coming on, you say, we've got a new series, do you want to be in series 4? Lucky was in 1 and 2, and it's just an easier way to describe it, I think.
Do you theme them?
No, but maybe I should. No, they don't have titles, they don't have themes. But also maybe that's because the podcast is natural and you just go with the current climate, whatever's happened in someone's life. So that would be kind of hard to plan, I think, to do that.
Do you not worry if you have a bit of time between series, you might lose listenership?
I worry if I'm not active on social media and in the general media promoting it, yes. I think between series is okay because there's so many to choose from and there's other competitors who are similar, you know, they will go and listen to other stuff. And I know myself as a customer, if I like something, I'll keep looking for it and returning to it. You know, I love Afterlife with Ricky Gervais. I can't wait for the next series. I'm not going to not watch it just because it's taking a while, you know. If you're a fan.
Yeah, because I could understand that. I love Afterlife as well, by the way. I think that's brilliant.
It's so good.
And if it's like a fiction series and then it, you know, the next series, it evolves and it evolves like Game of Thrones or whatever. I get that part. I suppose mine is probably a fear or a scarcity mentality, Katie, that if I didn't have a podcast for 3 months going from between episode 1 and 2, 3 and 4, I might lose listenership or reach or rankings. I suppose I like the consistency of it. And I also think like, well, yeah, series 2, how's that different from series 1? You can have a natural evolution, can't you, if you don't have any series?
Then you feel freer because you're not kind of, you don't have to produce for that series, then make a next one. Maybe I just haven't overthought it like that.
and by the way, I'm only asking because I'm A, fascinated, and B, obviously we've got lots of podcasters watching, because I just never really got, I sometimes think maybe people just do it because they think it's the right thing and haven't really thought about it strategically. Because if you themed each series and evolved each series, that could be very powerful.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So if you had like one series around anxiety, one around stress, and
Or one series is an interview series, another series is a conversation series, another series is maybe just you and your content, another series is unsung heroes where they're intentionally not celebrities, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, because a lot of people listening are probably going to go, oh, Katie's got series. Maybe I should think about series. I think what it does do, for me, I love doing podcasts, Katie, and I know you do, but if you put a lot of work into it, you might just want a break for a few months to get fresh again and revitalize yourself.
Yeah. And that's a nice way to do it because you've done a series of that. And yeah, you promise you're coming back with another one in the summer or something like that.
Mm. Cool. Okay, then. So monetization then. So you said that you've got a few different sponsors. So can you tell us how you found the sponsors? Whatever information you can do about the commercial element of the deal, because obviously a lot of podcasters want sponsors. Anything you could tell us will be really helpful.
So I think don't try and assume who would and wouldn't sponsor, and don't think, oh, it's an episode about properties that needs a property sponsor. That's not true. You know, sponsors are interested in the numbers and who they're going to reach. It doesn't have to be the subject is suitable for them. So try and think of existing relationships that you already have, because for some people, podcasting is really new. So they might have never sponsored a podcast before, but doesn't mean they wouldn't if it was pitched to them. So say Pantene, I'm the face of Pantene. I'm in the adverts, I model with them. And I just said, oh, look, do you want to sponsor a podcast? We could do a live podcast with an audience. As well as recording it for the platform. And we could do the podcast on hair loss, you know, and I pitched several different things to them and they were like, excellent. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Let's do that. So it's about having connections and conversations with people and not being afraid to be turned down and not being afraid to go back if you get turned down in a month saying, actually, we've got this and I think this would really work for you. What do you think? And then the more you do that, then the tide will turn and then sponsors will start coming to you and they'll say, oh, it's in you ranking in the top 20, 50, 10, whatever. We want a sponsor. We want a mention. We want to do an ad. And then it builds like that.
I for 450 episodes, never went with ads or sponsorship, Katie. I think I was being a bit too British and a bit too arty. I'm not selling out, Rage Against the Machine, you know. All this. I'm going to keep my art pure, but I definitely missed a trick. And if I were to go back again, what I would do is think about who would I promote anyway? Like, who do I love anyway? So, for example, I love Audemars Piguet. I love Costa Coffee. Zoom. You know, obviously with the Zoom calls and the Zoom recorders we use. And someone said to me, Rob, you should get like sponsored by Zoom because you're telling everyone about your Zoom H1, your Zoom H4. I probably sold thousands of these, never got a penny for it. So yeah. I would say to people, if that, you know, I'm a fan of McQueen, this is McQueen clothing. If there's products and services you would probably share for free anyway, if you approach them, I think that you've got a little bit of a story. We went with Blinkist. They approached us. So, again, we didn't approach people. They came to us. But, you know, Blinkist, 15-minute summaries of books. I think what a great idea when we're all really busy.
Yeah.
I found Blinkist very negotiable. So I think sometimes you think, oh, well, they're going to pay £30, 1,000 downloads, and it's this and it's that and it's official. But we negotiated them up quite a lot. We did, I think, a two-episode test first. Then it went well. Then we did another six-episode sort of test. And we managed to get their, I think their sponsorship up by about £15, 1,000. So they're all quite negotiable and you're able to discuss things with them. I really like your idea of going to them and saying, hey, why don't you sponsor a hair loss episode?
Yeah.
So if people had specific themes going to specific companies, I think that's a good idea. Did you find your sponsors were quite open, flexible, you know, negotiable? Yeah.
That's the key word. It's a negotiation. It's not like an email. Will you sponsor my podcast? Yes or no. You need to look at what can they offer you? What can you offer them? You know, you might be very new in your podcast, but you might have a really big Facebook group that you've been running years. So you might be able to say, look, if you sponsor my podcast, I will give you an advert on it, but I will also come on your, I will put an advert on my Facebook group for you, or I will do a live for you. You could, you don't just offer the podcast, you can offer other things, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you're an expert in something and they have live events, you might offer to come and do a talk if they sponsor the podcast for 1 year or something, you know. You have to look at, everyone's got something to offer, or something to kind of enrich the gaps where they don't have it. So yeah, try and think of it in that way.
Even 2.5 years ago, we were trying to get sponsorship, and people would not know what a podcast was, or you know, not, you know, what is it, what you're doing. You'd have all those kind of conversations. There's four of us all together on the team, or five of us, I should say. So a couple of producers and my agent helps to go out to find sponsorship. So he might be better to talk about more directly about that. But I think it's, I think basically it's all about numbers, isn't it? I think if you, you know, if you hit massive numbers, then they'll come and find you. You know, I think you won't have any, you won't have any concerns. But yeah, I think there are ways of monetizing it. I think for us, it was always about getting a main sponsor, and we've had main sponsors. I think we haven't got a main sponsor at the moment. But that's always our goal, is always to have one main sponsor, and then to have the adverts that Apple and everyone and Acast put onto the podcast separately anyway. So there's a little bit of revenue stream coming out of that, but obviously the main one is that if you get a main sponsor, that I think that's, for us, it was always the goal, always the aim. But again, yeah, it's hard to convince people of the value of it, isn't it? But I think advertisers are slowly coming around.
Who did you get as your main sponsors? Who have you had over the time?
A couple of betting companies, Premier Punt, and yeah, just a couple of sort of betting companies. So yeah, that was all good. But and I got the impression from talking to them, they just sort of it feels like it's still early days for them in terms of realizing the value of what a podcast or being associated with a podcast can bring to them. I think
I've noticed now that the press are listening to my podcasts, and and so what they do is, like, my podcast comes out on a Monday, and by Monday evening there's always some headlines, like a Daily Express headline or something, and they'll look for it. It's so funny. I'm almost playing a game with them now, because it's like we'll be talking about I can literally say anything, and they will take that one little sentence completely out of context and spin it into a headline, and then basically that'll be the clickbait headline that you click on, and then the article will be about nothing to do with that, but that's the clickbait headline. And you're like, you can say anything. So now I'm like, every time anyone says something that could be even remotely like twisted into a different thing, I'm starting saying, "You're welcome, Daily Express," like on the podcast. so like someone was talking about a dance they did on Strictly Come Dancing, and they were going, I had this idea to use balls, and they were talking about like basketballs or something, like for the dance, and they just said, "Yeah, I really wanted to use balls in my dance." And I was like, "You're welcome, Daily Express." And so that keeps happening, and now it's not really like necessarily quirky or controversial, but like people on my podcast sometimes sometimes they'll swear, like drop an F bomb or something, and at first I used to be so sort of, you know, I'm a ballroom dancer on the BBC. I can't be seen to be saying things like that. But I think now, with what I've been saying about just getting to see the real person on a podcast, I've started to relax a bit into, like, you know, everybody swears, you know, like, and you just sort of let it happen. And I've sworn a couple of times, and weirdly, even though I'm a 37-year-old man, it feels quite liberating just to swear in front of people and be like, yeah, I don't have to worry about that. This is my podcast. I can do what I want with it. I can just be me on it. I don't have to give you the, you know, the PR'd BBC version of me.
Yeah.
You swear all the time, yours.
Oh, come on, go fuck yourself. So your podcast is called, again, let us know.
Katie Piper's Extraordinary People.
And where do you most like people to follow you? You know, if, where would we follow you, where we can see what you're about and what you do?
I think on Instagram, my name is Katie Piper _. And yeah, I have Twitter and Facebook, but I'm not as good on those. I'm better on Instagram. I'm on that 24/7, so...
Oh, it's called The Kevin Clifton Show. It's a really, really easy name. I've battled with it for ages. What do I call it? And I'm just like, oh, The Kevin Clifton Show. Then it'll be easily searchable.
Really grateful. I always love talking to you, as you know, Katie. So on behalf of everyone watching, I want to say thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. Lovely to chat.
You're a legend, Kev. Thanks a lot.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
I love hanging out with you, Jake. You know, I think you're awesome. I really appreciate you giving us your time today.
No worries.
It's very kind of you. Love your show. Everyone should listen. And thanks a lot.
Wicked. Bless you, Rob. I'll see you soon.
Cheers, Jake. I'm not one for sitting here thinking, yeah, you know, I've really delivered. I'm very proud. I'm not that kind of person. But honestly, I think we've done a great job. Kev Clifton, Katie Piper, Jake Wood, all massive celebrities with massive podcasts, given their time. I didn't pay them. They didn't even ask for a fee. They're just given their time because, you know, I've got a good friendship with them, but, you know, they're great, genuine, nice people. I hope you felt like you got really good value. I tried to ask them all the same questions, but also some different questions each. Some of them were overly humble. I know that Katie and Jake are doing pretty well monetizing their podcast, making good money. They were a bit overly humble there, but, you know, I didn't want to push them. As you saw with Jake, just approach people, send them a link. If they like your show, they'll go on it. So I thought that was really revelatory. So stay with me because, as you saw with Kev Clifton, he uses our agency. Because I think you saw Jake Wood is very busy. I mean, he's a full-time actor in EastEnders. Kev Clifton, very busy. He was like one of the biggest celebrities, you know, when he won Strictly. And honestly, he's one of the busiest guys I know. And I believe that your job as a podcaster should be content, should be getting really good guests, should be marketing your podcast. More listeners in more countries, better, greater guests and better, greater content. That's your job. Write that down. Better content, well, or evolving good content, good guests and increasing your reach. That's your job. Everything else, hosting, syndicating, getting you on all the different platforms, editing, show notes, design, you name it. If you have to do that, you can't do content and great guests and increasing the reach. Oh, by the way, and of course, monetization. So that's why Kev Clifton uses our agency. That's why he has the baby and not the labor pains, because he decided he probably wouldn't get the podcast done if it wasn't for us. He doesn't know what to do. He's a bit of a technophobe, as I am. So I know many of you on this live stream are on our podcast agency. Pete Lunton, he's been saying very kind things on the live about using our agency. I know Khadija loves using our agency too. She's actually also one of our podcast trainers. So we have nearly 100 agency clients now. We take on 5 to 6 per intake because we're a very bespoke agency. We're not a big agency. You know, we don't have thousands of clients. We have about 100 odd clients. Obviously, we've had thousands of people come through our podcast training. So if you're watching and you're not on our agency, then email us at podcast@progressiveproperty.co.uk. That's podcast@progressiveproperty.co.uk. If you want to consider applying to be, use our agency. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to tell you a price. I can't tell you when we can take the next intake. There may be a queue. There's very likely a queue. But as you can, look at that. The email comes up. Email us at podcast@progressiveproperty.co.uk. That's podcast@progressiveproperty.co.uk. If you want to apply and talk to us about us creating a bespoke package for you. So we've got 3 different levels on our agency. If you want 2 a month episodes, 4 a month or unlimited. if you want to be hosted on just a few platforms or all of them, if you want to be an amateur podcast or a professional one, if you want other add-ons like show notes and voiceover, you want a voiceover artist and an intro and design, or if you just want the basic element, you know, which is on a lower budget. So for whatever budget you've got, we've got a package for you. We've got Starter, Pro and Studio Pro. Starter is for the amateur, you know, part-time podcast, you know, still can be a great podcast, but you know, you don't want to spend thousands or tens of thousands, and you don't want it to be professional. Might be a hobby podcast or something like that. Studio Pro is for those of you that, like me, like Jake, like Katie, like Kev, you know, you want a proper podcast, you want to have a professional podcast, you want to do, you know, grow it. You might want to do live episodes, live shows. You might want to monetize it. You might want to grow it. You might want to get really big reach. So we have those three different levels. So if you email podcast@progressiveproperty.co.uk, and we'll do it on a first come, first serve, by the way. So if you're first, then we could go live in 30 days. If you're 15th or 20th or 30th, then, you know, you might need to wait a little bit of extra time and get put in the queue. We do have an offer at the moment, a lockdown offer. So what we're doing is we're reducing, well, in fact, we're completely taking away our setup fee. We ask for just 90 days upfront on your monthly. And with 2 months notice, if you decide that it's not for you, you can cancel us. So your absolute maximum exposure is just 5 months. By then, you'll be 5 months live with your podcast. And then you can take all the assets back. You own all the assets. We don't own them. So if you decide not to use us in the future, you can just give, we can give you all of the logins and the assets back. So there's no massive upfront fees. They're all, you know, our upfront setup fees are being reduced. We've got discounts on our monthly at the moment, on our monthly retainer. And we're doing lifetime offers. So there's big discounts for lifetime offers, and you only have to put 50% down straight away. So we've got some big deals going on right now because of the lockdown. So if you're interested in us starting and scaling your podcast, helping you reach a wide audience, then podcast@progressiveproperty.co.uk. If you have never had a podcast and you want to get educated and you want to know what to do and how to do it and what your concept should be and your show should be, you know, and what your content should be and how to monetize it, then we have a podcast course, an online podcast course. I'd recommend you do that before the agency. But if you already have a podcast or you know what you're doing, you can use the agency. But again, if you email us at podcast@progressiveproperty.co.uk, then we can tell you what that course entails, whether the course is what you need, or you can go straight to the agency, or you need both. We can advise you and guide you on what level is right for you if you're not sure. The Starter, the Pro, the Studio Pro. We've got, like I said, a budget to fit all, a lower budget or a higher budget, depending on your goals and what you want to achieve. And we've got special discounts in the lockdown, which will expire once I finish the live stream. I don't know, Felicity, if there's anyone else speaking after this. I'll hand over. Let me know. In fact, why don't you WhatsApp me? I've got the WhatsApp open. Why don't you WhatsApp me? Or am I finishing off? Let me know, because if I'm finishing off, by the time we're finished, then the lockdown offer will expire. I'm the last one. I'm doing the graveyard shift. So in a couple of minutes, the big discounts, we've got massive discounts on the Studio Pro Lifetime. We've got big discounts on the monthly, and we're waiving the setup fee. So podcast@progressiveproperty.co.uk. If you want to know one of our three levels on the podcast agency, if you want the baby, but not the labor pains. If, like Kev Clifton, you want us to do everything for you so you can do great content, get great guests, and you can grow the reach of your podcast and monetize it. And if you're a newbie, you might want to consider doing our podcast Fast Start Online Masterclass. I'm done, I think. I've had a great time. I really enjoyed hanging out with Jake and Katie and Kevin on behalf of all of us, to thank them, because, you know, I think that it was really great what they did. I think this is, well, look, three massive celebrities like that. Have we ever done a better podcast, Quarterly Masterclass? Mastermind, sorry. I don't know. I actually invite a few of my community members to get that for free, just to be a voyeur and just to see what we're about. So email podcast@progressiveproperty.co.uk if you want to do the podcast online course, or want to talk to us about applying for our podcast agency, where we've got big discounts and no setup fees, and just 3 months upfront and just 2 months cancellation. So you've got very low risk and discounts on the monthly. Yeah. And cool special offers going on right now. Thanks, everyone. You are awesome. I love you all. And remember, if you don't risk anything, you risk everything.